Well, Ruth and I have been in the States about a month or so, and the reason why we had to come back, we were here with you just about a year ago, or a year and a half ago, because Ruth had an appointment, and everyone told us you shouldn't miss this appointment. So we came back and had an appointment August 22nd, and it was very important for us because I had noticed, I thought that Ruth's memory was having problems, and also her balance was not so well, and so we had this appointment with what's called a neuropsychologist, and he was just a brilliant man because he asked questions, he did tests, and it took a whole day to do it. He only sees one patient a day, and what he came up with was just really helped us so much because we realized that she has no memory problems at all. We just thank God for that. She has no signs of Alzheimer's or dementia. We thought that maybe she had early onset of Alzheimer's, but that's not the case at all. We found out that because she had a brain injury in her accident over 35 years ago, as she ages, it just starts to get more and more difficult for her to be able to take in information. The doctor shared with us that there's three parts of memory that all of us have. There's the input, where we get the information that comes into our brain, and then there's the storage of it stores in our brain, and then thirdly, retrieving it, getting it out of our brain when we need it again. Well, Ruth is just fine in the storage and the retrieval. It's just getting it in, that's the hard part, and that's the result of the accident that she had, and that just helped us so much because our family has noticed that sometimes when we say something, she doesn't always... Well, we think it's not memory, but she never did pick it up because maybe there was other distractions or there was other things around. There was maybe music, or we were in a restaurant and there was other people talking, whatever it might be, that she just never did get it in. And so now we realize that the important thing is that we have to make sure she really is listening to what we have to say. So sometimes maybe going to a place that's quiet where she can hear us better. And that it will help in our communication too, because we noticed there is kind of tensions between us sometimes because I thought she didn't remember what I said. But it was the fact that she hadn't really picked up well enough what I said to her. And the same thing with other people. So that's going to really, it's going to be an adjustment for us. It's going to be something that we need to work on. So we really ask that you pray for us in that. But because her memory is fine and she doesn't have any serious debilitating kind of problems, we're able to go back earlier than we thought. We had scheduled to go back at the end of November, but we're going to leave at the beginning of November. So we were just so thankful when we heard that there was going to be the international potluck today, and then I was asked to come and preach. So that was really an encouragement to us to be able to come here. And sometimes we try to send updates. Unfortunately, I don't get them to Ron, or he calls me, and I'm still sleeping because we're 10 hours different there. And so I'm sorry for those times that we mix up. So we're here live today, so that's good. You can ask us any questions, and if we can get the equipment set up, we can also show you some pictures of what our ministry is. Because our ministry in Uganda is an equipping ministry. It's a discipling ministry. Just like Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've commanded you. And so we're concentrating on that. And the Ugandans that we train and teach, they're going out and making new disciples. And that work is multiplying. And so that's what we're concentrating on, is that ministry of multiplication. We work in the Bible college. I teach there some things, especially Old Testament and interpretation and preaching. And then Ruth is also teaching Bible studies. We're training pastors in Bible studies because we found out that many of the churches didn't have them, and yet it's such a crucial thing, just as we've heard from Ron sharing with us about the Gideons. If people can just hear the Word of God and understand it and have a Bible study where they can, the Bible is the center of attention, and all of the answers that are asked are coming out of the Scripture. That's what we train people to do. And so we've seen many churches now start Bible studies where they hadn't had them before. And people are hearing the Word of God and they're growing. The reason why we're doing that training is because leaders asked us to train people because they felt that that's what shaped them as leaders, in Uganda was that they had a Bible study in their church. Another thing that they asked us to do is to train children's workers because they had Sunday school and they learned the Word of God when they were young. And again, Sunday school in Uganda, some people think it's just you throw the ball out there and play soccer during church. And yet, we're now going in the process of getting others to help us to come and train those workers who will go into other villages and other areas and help churches to start Sunday schools because they don't have them. And so that's another area that we probably will be working more on when we go back to Uganda and the next few years. So our ministry is basically a ministry of equipping. And that idea of making disciples and that idea of making his name known to all the nations is so key for us to understand, because we can be discouraged sometimes, especially the way I feel I'm seeing Christianity being attacked here in the United States and throughout different parts of the world. And sometimes we can say, oh, what's happening? Does God know what's going on? I mean, aren't we supposed to be able to continue to spread the good news and make his name known? Well, yes, we can. Sometimes we have to do it subtly, quietly. We were with a couple last week who have a ministry in China. This idea that the church is growing in China is amazing because it really is true. Students can learn English, but as they learn English, they also can hear about culture in the United States. And some of these missionaries who were sharing with us were saying they can share what Christmas really means and what Easter means, some of these holidays, and then they have an opportunity to share with these students. Not in class, but the students come to their home, and they can be able to share the scripture, and many of the students, the testimonies that we heard was amazing because many of them are coming to Christ in China. And so God is doing his work throughout the world, throughout all nations. And sometimes we don't know that. That's why I'm so happy to be with you to tell you how the church has grown in Uganda. Because when we came to Uganda, there was about 100 or 150 churches, Baptist churches in Uganda. And now there's over 2,000. And so that's a big work of equipping more and more leaders to go out and start new churches. So I thought it would be good for us to read a psalm this morning that reminds us again that our God reigns, that we are to declare his name, his glory to all nations, and we're to tell people that God reigns. And that's the work that we should continue to do here in this community, but also throughout the world. And that's why we're also having that international potluck today, is because you're going to be able to see others who are proclaiming his name in other cultures, even here in the United States. And so let's read the psalm together, Psalm 96. And you'll see that this psalm fits beautifully with what we know Jesus said in making his name known, making disciples of all nations. Psalm 96. I'm reading out of the NIV. Just follow along with me. We'll read the whole psalm together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. That psalm reaffirms with us again that God is in control and that we need to continue to worship him and proclaim his name to all the nations. That's the task that he's given us to do. That's why we worship together. That's why we're equipped here in the church. We were just in Sunday school just a while ago, and we were learning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit anoints us, how he works in our life, how he fills us so that we can go out and do a ministry in this community and also to different parts of the world. Now, I just wanted to look at this psalm because in my classes that I teach, I just taught the books of poetry and the books of the prophets in our Bible college. That's one of the things I enjoy doing. We have about 15 students that I teach. And one of the things I teach them is that there are different kinds of psalms. And I finally look closely at the board out there at the Shepherd's Bible College. And there is actually one photo of a professor, a teacher, teaching about the Psalms of Lament and showing you how the Psalms of Lament have a certain pattern in them. Well, if we look closely at the Psalms, all the Psalms, well, most of them have a pattern. Psalms of Lament are Psalms of complaining to God. And usually it starts out complaining to God, how things are going bad. But then there's this affirmation that God is going to reconcile the problem and work it out. And there's a praise at the end of those psalms. Now, this psalm that we looked at, that we read together, is a psalm of praise. And it has a pattern, too. Usually it begins with a call to praise. It asks people to sing, to praise, to worship him. And then the psalmist will give the reason or why, the cause for praise. And he gives different reasons why we should praise God. That's in this psalm also. Then often there's a renewed call to praise. He again, because of those reasons, he praises God again, and then ending again with another reason for his praise. And so that's the form that we see here in this psalm. It's one of those praise psalms. And so let's look at those stages of what the psalmist is saying. Now, we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. However, it was, if you read 1 Chronicles 16 another time, you'll see that this psalm is in that chapter, word for word almost. And it was used during the time when David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem. Now, why was the ark so important? Well, the ark was the place where God's presence dwelt in the tabernacle. And so the people were excited. David was excited, jumping and praising God and dancing, because the ark now is going to be in the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, and God's presence. That's where they built the temple later under Solomon. And even Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he had psalms. He had people praising and worshiping God. And so this psalm was used at that time. And so we don't know if it was David who wrote it. He also had the sons of Asaph who were reciting these. It could have been one of those sons. We don't know. But we do know that way back in that time, this psalm was very important for the people to praise God, and that they didn't have just the idea that only Israel should know the true God, but all the nations, all the families of the earth should give praise to God. So let's look, first of all, at this call to praise that I shared with you, that the psalmist first calls the people to give praise and honor to God. He begins by saying, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day." He repeats three times, "Sing to the Lord." So is it important to worship the Lord through singing? Absolutely. Very important. We don't worship just with singing only. We do it in other ways. Proclaiming his word, giving offerings, doing different ministry, having fellowship, all of those can be worship to God. But singing is so important. And so he calls the people, first of all, to sing a new song to the Lord. What's that mean, to sing a new song? We see that often in the Old Testament. Well, basically it means that when God does something in your life, praise him for it. When he does something new in your life, when you've been praying for something, or your church has been praying for someone, or something important has happened, take that time to praise God with maybe you can't sing so well, but praise him with your voice in prayer or in adoration to God. Even the book of Lamentations 3:17, we were sharing that earlier. Even in the middle of the time when Jeremiah was mourning over the fall of Jerusalem after it had been destroyed, in the middle there of the book of Lamentations, again, I teach this with my students, that sometimes shows you where the key part of the book is. And Lamentations 17 is that key verse that says, "Your mercies are new every morning." We even have that song, don't we? Our mercies are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's from that part of Lamentations. And so that idea of a new mercy, sometimes I hear people even praying, "Lord, your mercies are new every day." And so that's what a new song is. It's praising God from something new he's done in your life. What about you? Has God done anything new in your life recently? I hope so. If he has, take that time to give praise to him. Honor him and worship him because of what he's doing. And maybe it might be a Thanksgiving. I know that Ruth and I were just thanking God because we thought she had something much more serious, but it turned out that it wasn't as serious as we thought. There's just some new adjustments that we have to make. With our son, we did have to come back to the States a few months ago because he had cancer. He had a tumor on his stomach. And then we heard there were other tumors in other places. Well, when we came back, we found out that those other tumors were benign, but the one in the stomach, they had begun to treat with some pre-surgery chemotherapy. Also, people all over were praying. I know you were probably praying as well. And he's also a very fit person. He works out a lot. He's in the Army, so he keeps fit, and he's a trainer in the gym and so on. But God, in a miraculous way, started to shrink that tumor to the point that the doctor says it was crushed. And he actually had some internal bleeding. And when the doctor looked at it later with a ultrasound, they said, It is gone. I don't have anything to operate on. And so they went in with laparoscopy surgery, and they pulled out a few fragments, but they said, "You're in remission." And my son Stan asked the doctor, and he said, "Well, how can that be? Because you were just going to operate on me." And the doctor said, "Do you believe in God?" And so it was amazing that even the doctor had to admit that God had done something great. And so those are the times when we can sing a new song to God, when we can praise God for something great that he's done in our life. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He's calling the people to sing. And not only to sing, but look in verse 3. "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." That's the privilege that all of us have through our partners that we have as missionaries. God has given you the privilege of declaring the glory of God here, where God has called you. But also, you are partners with other people in other places. And maybe even some of you have gone overseas and you have a chance to share Christ. I know friends that climb mountains to show the Jesus film, and people come to Christ that way. They're only there for a few weeks and then come back. There's all different kinds of ministries we can do. But that's why we need to praise God, as we can declare his name even to the nations. And Ruth and I have had that privilege of, now it's been 32 years we've been in Uganda, and your church has supported us that long. When we first came out, we were first sent out from this church. So that's a privilege that we continue to have. So that's the call to praise. But now let's look at the cause for praise, why we should praise God. That's in verses 4 through 6. These are the reasons. Notice that most Bibles here say four. There is a, I don't want to get too technical here, but in the original language in Hebrew, there is a particle there that says four. So he gives the reasons, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. That's another reason. Verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols or worthless. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. So now he gives us the reasons why we need to praise God. One of them here is because he's greater than all other gods. And again, we might realize in the time of Israel, there was that temptation to worship other idols. And the prophets spoke against the people of Israel because they tried to call them back to the true God of Israel. But often they were tempted to be like the other nations and worshiped other idols that were made from wood or metal or whatever it might be. And even the prophets kind of poke fun at those kind of people because they were worshiping a piece of wood that they had just made a little while ago. And so there's a play on words here that says, The gods are idols, and it means they're nothing. They're worthless, and yet people worship them. And so the psalmist says, great is the Lord, and he's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, they're worthless. But the Lord made the heavens. We also have our idols, don't we? We have things that sometimes we love more than God, or we spend more time with, or we concentrate, or we almost honor more with our time and with our resources, whatever it might be. There might be some things in your life that are in the place of God right now. That could be an idol. And yet, we worship a God. We know that the Lord is above all other gods. These other gods are not gods at all. They're just worthless things that are made by the works of man's hands. And so the psalmist again calls the people to praise God because he is over all those things. Even here he says that they are to be feared, the Lord is to be feared, and the Lord made the heavens. Now in that time, the other cultures that had other gods, they believed the gods lived up in the heavens. That was their abode. And yet, the psalmist says, the Lord is the one who created those heavens, where you think that the gods live. And so, again, he's trying to show that the reason why we need to give praise and worship to God and to declare him to other nations is because he's over all those things. He's the only one that is worthy to receive praise and glory. We come then to verse 7, and again now, he has given the call to praise. Secondly, he's given the cause for praise. But now in verse 7, it's a renewed call to praise. He now breaks out in another way, another reason, or another time of praising God. And this time he says in verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. So now we hear these three words, ascribe, repeated three times. We saw the word sing at the beginning, used three times. And now we see ascribe to the Lord. What does that word mean, ascribe? Well, it means to lay to the account of someone. In other words, someone else deserves some funds or some money that we owe them. And so now we ascribe to that person, we give to that person what is owed to them. And it's the same thing in our praise to God. We should ascribe to God, give to him what is due him, what is owed to him, what is worthy of him. And so the psalmist says we need to ascribe to the Lord. And it's not just Israel. Look what he says here. Ascribe to the Lord O families of nations. This word families has the idea of people groups, language groups. And in Uganda, what's very important is clans and tribes. Every tribe has many, many different types of clans. And marriage rights are very important, because if a man wants to marry a woman, she's from another clan. And so that family, that clan, is taking care of that woman. The parents have educated her usually. They have fed her, taken care of her when she's sick, clothed her. And so now, if he wants to marry her, he is going to bring her into his clan, his family, which is totally different. And so because of that, he has to compensate the other clan for taking her away, because he's going to produce children by her, and children are very important in African culture. And it carries on the name of that clan. So if you're taking another woman from another clan, that clan has to be compensated. So that's where we have the idea of bride price. And some people say, oh, you're just buying a woman. Well, that's not really true. They're compensating that tribe, that family, that clan, for taking that woman out. And now she is going to be giving children to this new clan. And so cows have to be given, goats have to be given, some gifts have to be given to the family. Even to be able to go and introduce yourself, it's a whole ceremony where you have to take a crate of sodas and all kinds of gifts to even be able to speak. And then you have a representative speak for you and say, there's a woman here that we want for our son. And it's not usually the father that does it, it's an uncle or a relative. And of course, there's this whole ceremony where they bring in one girl. Is it this one? No. Okay, and then they bring in another girl. Is it this one? No. And then they bring in another girl. Finally, it's the girl that is to be married. And then there's a whole celebration. And then there's a giveaway, which is another time where, the family has to give her away and give it to this new clan. And so people are crying here because now she's going out of the family. And so you can see how this whole idea of clans and families is so important in many cultures. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying all families, all clans, all nations. That's why when we see in the book of Revelation, when all the people are bowing down before the throne, it says every nation and tongue and tribe and language and clan will be praising God. And so, isn't it a wonderful thing that we have that privilege of being partners with other missionaries who are making the name of Christ known to all nations and all clans? And so that's why he says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Then he also calls upon not just people, but then everything in the earth, everything in the universe, to give praise to God. Because look at what it says here in verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. So here we see all these aspects of God's creation. You remember in Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, he divided the heavens, the sky, from the land. And then in the land, he divided the waters from the dry land. And so all these aspects are here in this psalm also, that he's trying to show us that every part of creation should give honor and praise to God and rejoice because he rules, he reigns over everything. Even the trees of the forest are to sing. I don't know, have you heard trees sing before? Well, they kind of sing because I've heard the wind coming through the trees in some amazing ways in Uganda, because we get storms that come suddenly upon us, and it gets dark, and the wind comes, and the rain starts. You can hear the rain from, like, I don't know, miles away. You just hear the roar as it's pounding down on banana trees and other things all along the way, the metal roofs of houses too. And it's just a roar coming until finally the rain arrives to where we are. And so I think of that in the sense that the trees are singing, or they're making a noise. And I think of as storms as something that's giving honor and praise to God, because he's the one that brings the storms. And so the psalmist is again calling us to praise God and to honor him and sing for joy and sing in worship to him. And then verse 13 at the very end gives us another reason why we should praise the Lord. Verse 13, they will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. So the psalm ends up again saying, let's all come and worship, bow down, give an offering, honor the Lord, praise him, sing a new song to him, because he's going to come and judge the world in righteousness. And to me, that's a comfort, and that's also an encouragement to me, because I know God's going to set everything right in this world. We see a lot of wrong, don't we? We see a lot of things that concern us. When I see the changes, every time we come back to the United States, we see a lot of changes happening. We see a decline a lot of times. And yet we know that God's in control. And we don't know if America is always going to be blessed in the position in the world that it always has been. But we do know that God's going to set everything right. We do know the judge is going to come. That's the Lord. He's the only true and worthy judge. And he's going to make everything right in his time. We know Christ is coming back, don't we? But in the meantime, we continue to serve him. We don't want to be found to be asleep, do we? We want to be alert. We want to be working for him. We want to be making his name known. Some people ask me, well, when are you going to come back to in our small group? It's really funny. We have a small group in our church that we come back to every time we come to the States. And they say, well, when are you going to retire? When are you going to come back? You've been in Uganda now 32 years. When are you going to come back? And they said, We have needs here in the States. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. And I just tell them, well, that's for you to do. That's what God has called you to do. God has called us. We've still got work to do in the United States. It's kind of funny. Our president has been in power for 25 years in Uganda. And some people say, well, isn't that long enough? And I think most of us would say that's enough, a long enough term. But he keeps on saying, my work isn't finished. I still have work to do. And there's been an amazing development in Uganda in the last 25 years since we've been there. But Ruth and I feel, too, that we have a countdown. I think last time we were here, we said we had 10 years remaining before we retire. Now we have 9 years remaining. And so we feel that there's so much training, so much equipping that we have to do so that more and more people can be strengthened and have the resources and the knowledge of the Word of God so that they can take it out to Uganda and other parts of Africa and other parts of the world. So we read a psalm like this and we know that God is in control, that he reigns, that he is making his name known among all nations, and we are a part of that. You're a part of that as you partner with other missionaries and as you make Christ known in this community as well. Let's praise and thank the Lord for that. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that your word is so consistent all the way through, that it tells us to go to make disciples of all nations, but even Abraham said he was to be a blessing to all nations. And this psalm was written that we should declare your name among all nations. And so, Lord, give us the strength to do that. I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll equip us with your word, that we might be faithful in making your name known, and that you will receive all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.